there. Welcome into Big Jim's Garage. Grab yourself a beverage.
It's right over there.
Over there. No, you're good. You're good. Part of the B-Pod Studios. I'm your host, Big Jim O'Brien. This podcast emanates from Detroit, Michigan. 4 feet tall and shrinking. A lot of automotive stuff to get to. I have to tell you about a truck I'm test driving. We'll get to that later. But I want to talk about my buddy, Mike. Mike lives in Alberta, Canada. Mike is 44 years old. He was legally blind his whole life. And he regained his sight through an amazing surgery. And what he did, what he went out and got, will make every gearhead smile. It's an amazing story. So let's get right to it, my buddy Mike. All right, so Mike, you've been blind since legally blind. You could see things, though, when you were little. Just nothing was clear, right?
Well, when I was little, it was extreme. It was severe, and it was pretty hard to diagnose exactly how to get me a prescription that would work. But as I got older, I was able to compensate, adjust, you know, kind of get around. It was still really hard, but, you know, I could see well enough just to function.
So high school comes along, you're in your 20s, and you're like, you're looking at people. Were you always in love with cars? Was the idea of someday having your own muscle car, high-performance car, always something in the back of your mind, or you didn't even want to entertain that thought?
It was only up until the age of 18 that they thought, well, there's a small chance when I turn 18 there might be something that would help. And that time came and went, and I just kind of gave up the hope and the idea that I would ever get into it. And I just learned to live with it for the rest of my life.
Until the University of California, Irvine, and you went and had an experimental procedure. How many years ago was that?
2 years ago, this October.
And then you go, and now, so we're not just talking about a Corvette. You're also married with kids. So the first time you get to see your wife and your kids clearly, we're talking about the studio here, Mike. I can't comprehend what that must have been like for you.
Oh, it's nuts. I mean, everything just started to become more clear. I could see details, shapes, definition of things. Basically, third dimension is starting to come in, so I'm actually seeing depth, which I never had, and it's really hard to describe. I mean, I was totally tripped out by things.
So why the Corvette, other than the fact that it's an amazing car? Why the Grand Sport? Oh, what was it?
It's just so hot. I mean, when I started looking, at first I didn't think it was possible. Like I wasn't really expecting to get that much gain out of it. I really just hoped that the eyes would be a little steadier. And, you know, I'd be a little more comfortable with my life. But when I started actually seeing better, I was like, well, now I got to pick a car. And everybody said, well, you should get a truck. And I said, no, I don't think so. I just started looking around and I saw this Corvette online. And I was like, that's so hot. I got to get it.
And you've been tinkering with this car, too. I love the gull wing doors look great.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's not a mod that a lot of guys like. I actually did some research and like 80% of Corvette owners think it's terrible. But for me, the door is so long that it's hard to get in and out of it in a parking lot or a gas station or anything.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I've loved that look since I was a kid, and I had to have it. I just tore the car down over the winter and put the doors on with the help of a buddy. Did a whole bunch of other. I added over 2 dozen mods to the thing over the winter. Just started tearing into it. It was so much fun.
First time you drove the car. Well, paint that picture for us.
I was freaking out. It was pretty scary, man. I mean, she just had so much power, and I really hadn't had a lot of experience yet. I was still on what they call a learner's license, so I always had to drive with a co-pilot, a supervisor. And so I just had to get used to the thing at first, just kind of getting around the city where I picked it up. And then I got out into the country on the highway, and then I could just open it up a little more and really play.
We got to get you on a track.
That would be a dream.
Seriously? A track day would be something you'd be willing to do?
Oh, man, that'd be just an absolute trip. I would just have a blast just pulling that out wide open.
You know what? If the world gets normal next year, since we tape these here in Detroit, we should get you back here for the Detroit Grand Prix next year. It's sponsored by Cadillac and Chevrolet and General Motors.
Oh, wow. That'd be amazing. You know, because the condition was so severe, I mean, I went to a couple concerts in my life, but I never really saw anything. I've been to a hockey game, can't see it. You know, I just don't go to events because I've never been able to enjoy them.
So the car is beautiful. The family, you got a great family. Were there other things that you saw, Mike, that startled you that maybe you didn't, your brain didn't? I've always heard that when you're blind or even being legally blind, your brain will create its own version of what a flower really looks like or what a extension cord looks like. Were there things like that when you saw them with clarity for the first time? You're like, wait a minute, that's not at all what I thought it was going to be.
I didn't have that sensation. It's not that things look different in that sense. I would just say that it became much more clear. There was just this sense of depth and detail where I never had before. You know, just being able to see tiles and count separation between them. To me, easy way to think of it is if I tried to play darts at the bar with some buddies, and I would just see the board. You know, most people try to hit a particular quadrant of it.
Right.
But I had no sense of that. It was just like I knew there was a dartboard ahead of me, and I would just aim for it. So it was just all this detail coming in.
Well, the way I play darts is have a couple beers, aim for the 20s, and wherever they land, they land.
Yeah, good for you.
Right? It just seems to be the center thing there. Your attitude, Mike, you sound wonderful. What would you say to somebody listening right now that's going through a lot of stuff, like so many people are, and maybe don't see the other side or even that opportunity? Look how your world's changed because of this. I mean, what do you say to someone who's maybe struggling right now?
Well, listen, I grew up poor. This wasn't something that came easy financially, and I certainly didn't have the chance with my vision. I dug in deep. I took the hard path. You know, there's a lot of easy paths out there. You just got to keep working hard, and you got to never give up dreaming. That's all.
You're the best. This is such a great story. It's such a beautiful car. And the yellow, you got to have it in the Corvette yellow. You had to get this car in yellow. You had to.
Yeah. Oh, man. I have so many people coming up to me. Kids will pull me over at the gas station. Can I get a picture? You know, like, it's just incredible.
Did you really say sight unseen? You purchased the car. Come on, Mike.
I just got it because I like the look. I had no idea it was going to get that much attention.
Wow. Yeah, but the sight unseen pun was kind of, that was well done. That was well done, sir.
Sight unseen. Well, that wasn't an intentional pun.
It wasn't? Okay, well, no. It was pretty damn good, dude. So, yeah, well played there. Man.
Thank you.
Well, Mike, we're going to post the photos as well here on our garage page, and we will stay in touch. It's such a great story, man. We got to get you back here to the Motor City. You got to come racing.
I'd love to join you guys. Thank you very much, Big Jim, for having me.
Told you. Great guy. Mike's the best. And the car, he's taking this Corvette, and really, going doors look great on a Corvette. I don't know why people are so against those, man. They look great on a C7. Okay, couple notes before we wrap up this edition of Inside the Garage, Big Jim's Garage. I'm driving an F-250 this week doing a review on it. And you're like, so what? There's F-250s all over the place. This is called the Tremor. F-150 Raptor, the off-road monsters, which are an absolute blast to drive. This is Big Brother. It's like little brother gets a new pair of Jordans, and then Big Brother goes, well, I want a pair of Jordans. So you got it. This thing is a beast. Took it off-roading, it doesn't even blink. Just an absolute animal to drive, and in the best way possible. The F-250 Tremor is, wow, yeah, it's pretty cool. Also, I forgot to mention, we talked so much about the Ford Bronco. I had some time to actually see it in person and the dimensions and everything else. The two-door for me is the one that I would go with. That's me. I think a lot of people are going to, but I'm 6'5 and I'm a big guy. The four-door really is cool, and I can see families getting that one. And the Sport for a young person, maybe you're a city person. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Like, they call them city cars. They're small, they're cool, but you could still go off-road in it if you wanted to. I don't see a lot of people tricking out the Sports, to be honest. The two-door and the four-door, oh yeah. And when we had Marks on last week, we were talking about this. I don't think it's mutually exclusive. You're either going to be a Bronco or a Jeep person. I think they can peacefully coexist. I hope so. It's good for business, right? For the auto industry. And anyway, that was a quick NASCAR note too. Eric Jones, out of his ride at Joe Gibbs Racing. It is amazing to me how we've gotten into NASCAR, and I've talked about this a couple times in the podcast, how this season in particular, with all the compressed racing and stuff, you better have your shiitake mushrooms together or you're going to be out of a ride. These young drivers do not care about these old, there's respect, but no fear. They are not intimidated by any of these drivers. when you're watching Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell and all them, these men have a ton of experience, and they're not blinking, and it's showing. The way they're, Cole Custer, the way they're running, and Erik Jones is a great driver, 18th in points as we record this, and that ain't going to get it. That's just not going to get it. So he is a wonderful driver. I am sure that he's going to wind up in another car. Christopher Bell will probably drive for Joe Gibbs next year. But I'll tell you, man, motorsports, a lot of fun right now between that, although I do miss Indy. I know they had some delays because of Mid-Ohio with some of the COVID stuff, but man, the spacing for the IndyCar stuff is kind of weird. And no fans later on this month for the Indy 500 as well. I'm out of here. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at WCSXJim. You can also subscribe to this podcast. I encourage you to do that. We'll keep you up to date. That would be B-Pod Studios. You can go there wherever you subscribe. I'm going to see if I can get Mark Truby on next week. Mark Truby is the communications director for Ford. We're going to talk a little more Bronco because can you remember a car? I mean, the Corvette was a big deal, but the buzz about this Bronco, there's a really cool podcast coming out. So we'll get into that and some unheard stories about Broncos and the people behind bringing it back. So you guys take care of yourself. Be well. Talk to you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.